Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
And good afternoon and welcome to the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. If you catch us later on in the week via the podcast or archives, always glad to have you listening whenever it is, but you can catch us live each and every Wednesday, 3 o'clock. Get some of your emails a little bit later on, redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is how you get the emails to us, redzone@kcchiefs.org. And we'll get to a couple of emails a little bit later on. We're going to talk to Chris Chambers, Chiefs wideout. Yes, Chiefs wideout. We talked to Chris Chambers towards the end of last season and talked about the fact that he was due to be a free agent. Got to free agency. Chiefs got him re-signed back in the fold, back in the red and gold. Chris Chambers, Chiefs wideout, going to join us a little bit later on. Coming up in our next segment, we'll talk to Wes Bunting. He is the director of college scouting for the NationalFootballPost.com, and we'll begin breaking down all the positions all the way up until the draft. We're about 5 weeks away from the NFL draft. Each and every week, we'll break down a couple of positions. This week, we start with the wide receivers and corners in honor of Chris Chambers. We got a wideout on later. We'll break down the wideouts looking ahead, possible acquisitions, possible wideouts for the Kansas City Chiefs, a spot that was a vast position of need before Chris Chambers got brought back into the mix. Now I think it would just be a position of need. Chiefs continue on the free agent front in addition to Chris Chambers. Wow, what a busy last week and a half it's been. There for a while it was signing a player per day. If you go back, the Chiefs getting a deal done with Tyler Palco on March 3rd, backup quarterback. Mike Vrabel, his contract extended on March 4th. March 5th, Jackie Battle re-signs with the Kansas City Chiefs as they continue making moves. Terrence Copper re-signs on the 6th. He took a couple of days off. March 8th is when Chris Chambers got his deal done on Monday. Then Thomas Jones, would that be Monday? Would that be 12, 10? 11, 10, 9, 8, yeah, Monday. He gets his deal done. Chris Chambers re-signs with the Chiefs. Thomas Jones on Tuesday, and then when last we talked, Sean Smith, nose tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, signed on Wednesday, but it didn't stop there. On Thursday, Jeremy Urban, wide receiver formerly of the Arizona Cardinals, signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. Then on Friday, Casey Wiegman back in the fold. Casey, a part of the Chiefs organization from 01 to 07 before moving on to the Denver Broncos. He now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs on Friday. Then fast-forwarded around to the 16th. They took Monday off, I guess, you know, weekend. Get a little rest, relaxation, maybe a three-day weekend. Nobody signed on Monday. Then on Tuesday, Ryan Lilja, local product from Shawnee Mission Northwest, via K-State, via, I believe it was Coffeyville Community College, then K-State, then the Indianapolis Colts. People, I think, know the story very well of Ryan Lilja. The Chiefs did a great job of signing him as a rookie free agent out of K-State. Liked what they saw by some people's accounts, tried to hide him, not showcase him in many of the preseason games, try to make him get him into the practice squad for the Chiefs. The Colts, tip your cap, did a great job. They knew what he was. They signed him to their active roster, and Ryan Lilja has appeared in two Super Bowls, winning one of them. Brings that experience to the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line, and a lot of people have him programmed in at right guard. Maybe not so fast. Brian Waters has played some center in his career. Rudy Neiswanger has played some guard as well. So we will see how that fits together. Ryan Lilja played left guard with the Indianapolis Colts. That, of course, has been manned by Brian Waters. So, you know, can he make the move to the right side? Does Brian Waters make the move to the right side? Does Brian Waters make the move to center and Rudy Neiswanger make the move over to guard? Does Casey Wiegman move in at center for this football team? I think center is going to be the spot that Casey's going to play, whether he starts or ends up being a backup. But no doubt the depth of the offensive line has gotten a lot better with the last two signings. Casey Wiegman and Ryan Lilja added in free agency, and the Chiefs continue to improve their depth along that offensive line. Well done, and getting a local kid, local boy done good Ryan Lilja back in the fold for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, what does it mean? Number one, are they done? A lot of people don't think so. Think there'll be even more signings. They've done quite a bit for this football team already. A lot of it on the offensive side of the ball. So if you want to look for signings, maybe more signings on the defensive side of the ball. A re-sign of Mike Vrabel and then adding Sean Smith, the two major impact moves that they've made on the defensive side of the ball, where offensively, Lilja, Wiegman, Urban, Thomas Jones, Chambers re-signed. A little bit more activity on the offensive side of the ball, so maybe take a look at those names that are still out there on the defensive side of the ball. And then what does it mean for the draft? We mentioned Wes Bunting will be with us in a little bit. 5 weeks to go until the NFL draft. What do these signings mean? How does it change the Chiefs' approach? And I'll tell you, I don't think it changes their approach much at all. I think it just strengthens what is their approach. And that is, I don't think this organization wants to ever go into a draft feeling like we have to take this position. When teams make mistakes or when they draft for need, I think you've got to always be in a best player available mode. That is the best way to draft. You want to have good talent on your football team at all positions so that no matter what position is best on the board, when your pick comes, you can take it. If it's a corner, you can take it because you don't have dire needs at safety or at quarterback or running back or anywhere. If the best spot's an O tackle, you take him. You grab him. I think that's the best way to handle an organization, and that's maybe maybe unfair to shoot for that. Maybe that's Shangri-La, if you will, and an unachievable goal, but it's certainly what you strive for. I think every team with retirements, injuries, and free agency are going to have spots that are open. But what you'd like is to always have a young player ready to step in and start if a veteran player does leave or retire or get injured. And I think that's where the Chiefs are trying to get to. Are they there yet? No, you'd probably like more depth at tackle, although the offensive line came around very well. Probably like more depth on the defensive line. Probably like more depth at linebacker, maybe a young outside linebacker to be groomed by Mike Vrabel. Perhaps more inside at the inside linebacker spot. Youth there, safety a possibility. You can never have too many cover corners. The Chiefs could probably use everything except kickers. What they don't need is a place kicker and a punter. Could make a case that perhaps even a young quarterback to look to the future with, although Brody Croyle, Matt Gutierrez, and Tyler Palco all holding things down. Brody Croyle had an excellent game last year in Baltimore. The quarterback spot, not a weakness. That might be the second strongest spot on the team after the kicking game. Everywhere else, they could use some talent. And now they can go out and evaluate the draft with pick number 5 and every other pick they've got in the draft and take the best player available. If that's offensive tackle, if that's safety, which seems to be the direction most people are projecting the Chiefs up at that early pick. And that number 5 pick is important. The draft is all 7 rounds. It's all your picks. They all have to contribute. You have to have success in all the rounds. But as much money as an organization will have to give a player who goes at pick 5, or if the Chiefs trade down to 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 15, wherever it is, as much money as you have to give first rounders, and in particular high first rounders, they can't bust. You can't have that much of your salary cap not producing. So the Chiefs are going to need to hit at that pick number 5. We assume there'll be a salary cap long term, as it's an uncapped year for 2010. We assume we're going to have a cap in the future. You can't have that kind of huge contract giving you no production. The Chiefs are going to have to hit. This gives them the ability. The depth they've added through free agency gives them the ability to really go perhaps wherever they want in the draft and take the actual best player available. If that's Russell Okung at Oklahoma State, if that's Eric Berry at Tennessee, whatever it might be, they're in a spot where they can take the best player available. All right, we'll take a break here in the Red Zone. We come back, Wes Bunting will join us. He's the director of college scouting for NationalFootballPost.com. We talk wideouts and corners. It's next here in the Red Zone.
Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster. The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
What's in your playbook for 2010?
Shotgun formation, twins to the right. He takes the snap, fakes right, spins left, and dives for 2010 Chiefs season tickets.
Great seats at great prices are available. Buy now to guarantee you'll experience the Chiefs in the new Arrowhead opening in 2010 with improved amenities, expanded concourses, HD video boards, the Hall of Honor, and much more. Purchase your 2010 Chiefs season tickets today at kcchiefs.com or call 888-99-CHIEFS. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com. Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you, and we're going to talk about potential future Chiefs as we begin to break down the scouting. That is the NFL draft, and joining us is the director of scouting for the National Football Post. He'll help us break down all the positions as we lead you up to the Chiefs' big draft day party that Thursday, when, again, this year, first round on Thursday. Wes Bunting is with us. Wes, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. And we thought we'd start today since Chris Chambers, part of the Red Zone today, we thought we'd talk some wide receivers and corners. I take maybe the one of the glamour positions on offense, and maybe the only glamour position on defense. If there are a divas on the defensive side of the ball, they tend to be at that cornerback spot. So we thought we'd knock those two out today. Let's start with wide receivers. First of all, overall, this year's class of wideouts, what do you think?
Well, I think there's a little talent towards the top end. When we're talking first-round caliber talent, there's not a ton in that form. But once we get down towards the second, third-round guys, a lot of talent, a lot of depth in that area, guys that, you know, have some chink in their armor, not ideal, perfect prospects. Maybe they don't run elite 4-3 speed. Maybe they have trouble catching the football. Maybe they're not the most cleanest or purest route runners, but they have the ability to help an NFL offense if used correctly, and they'll be able to make plays at the next level.
All right, let's talk about guys up at the top. First of all, the Chiefs have pick number 5. That's where they sit now. Trades can happen. Anything can happen. Is there a receiver that warrants, you talked about a little bit of talent up at the top in that first round grade, is there a receiver that grades up high enough you think to be the number 5 overall pick?
Well, from a pure on-the-field standpoint, it's Dez Bryant. And I would say absolutely. But you worry about the character concerns with him. He had the run-in with Deion early in the year, suspended from the Oklahoma State football team. From every source I've talked to inside the NFL, we've heard the guy's a diva. He might not, you know, put the work in. It has that prototypical NFL wide receiver attitude that we're used to seeing. The Chad Ochocinco, the Terrell Owens, this guy's all of them wrapped up in one. Now, on-field production against character concerns, that's a tough equation to figure out. Is he worth the top overall pick or fifth overall pick from a talent standpoint? Absolutely. However, you have to weigh, you know, cost management, risk versus reward. Does this guy have the attitude, the willingness, the intangibles to be great? You know, that's the big concern with Dez Bryant.
Yeah, and Dez Bryant, we saw, obviously, in these parts, Big 12 country, great tools, but you do have to wonder about the off the field. Just the tools. Is there a receiver that you've studied in the past, that you've scouted in the past, that you think he reminds you of, at least physically? I mean, the off the field and whether or not you're going to commit to studying the offense and working with a quarterback is a big part of the equation for wideouts that I think people don't realize. But just the physical tools, is there a guy he reminds you of?
Well, physical tools, I mean, you can make the comparisons. He's an elite-type prospect. I mean, you could make the Andre Johnson comparisons. Obviously doesn't have that elite 4-3 speed down the field. Reminds me a bit, we're going to go old school here, with a guy like Sterling Sharp.
Okay.
Uses that big body to separate, has a burst of balance to get in and out of his breaks. Obviously not a burner down the field, but generates accelerations when it has to change direction, uses his big body, bear claws for hands, plus the football. And then once he catches it, puts his foot in the ground, gets north to south quickly. That's the kind of receiver he reminds me of.
All right. Who else is in that first-round class? Is Golden Tate at Notre Dame? That's a name that certainly everybody's heard.
Yeah, that's a name everyone's heard. I mean, I wouldn't trust it, to be honest. Dez Bryant's the only guy I would feel have a conviction about it. You take in the first round. A guy that I'd lean towards maybe is Aurelius Ben from Illinois. This is 6'1", 220-pound guy. Reminds me a lot of Anquan Boldin. He could make more of an impact as any rookie receiver in this year's class because he has the ability to catch the ball underneath and create after the catch then. Real physical to bring down. Didn't have real gaudy numbers this year because of the inept offense and Juice Williams at Illinois, but this is a real standout. He would rank as my number two prospect of the wide receiver class.
All right, I have to ask you about Brandon LaFell just because he's from LSU and the Chiefs are 3-for-3 on first-round picks being from LSU. I take it you're thinking he's more, and maybe he will be a Chief, maybe it'll be a second-round pick, but he's more in that fringe bottom of the first, top of the second caliber?
Yeah, I think so. And if I need a wide receiver and a guy like Ben and Brian are off the board, I would have no problem with taking Brandon LaFell in the first round. However, because of concerns with his straight line speed, a high 4.5 guy, low 4.6 guy, I don't think he sneaks into the first round, to be honest. It wouldn't surprise me if he would, and I wouldn't have any problems taking him. This guy can be a threat on the outside. He can beat press, a smooth route runner. The biggest knock on LaFell is he's going to drop the football. You have to put up with his drops. He'll put it on the ground, but has the ability to make plays underneath and down the field. I like Brandon LaFell a lot.
All right, and you mentioned 40 times, and his was not the best. And we'll get to 40 times on the corners as well. Jerry Rice didn't run a great 40. Michael Irvin didn't run a great 40. But they played fast in pads. Are teams getting wise to it's not all about the 40? We've seen some guys, I remember even going back, that kind of came out of nowhere to be maybe not first-round picks, but high second-round picks because they had those great 40 times and never really produced as outstanding football players. Are teams wising up? Is the 40 time important, but maybe not as important as it was 10 years ago?
I'd say so, unless you're the Oakland Raiders taking Darius Hayward Bay, to be honest. But with guys like Dez Bryant, Brandon LaFell, Aurelius Ben, it's short area quickness and balance as route runners. For you, the ability to keep your feet under you, cleanly change directions, and accelerate out of your breaks. All you need, especially for these big receivers, is that first step on a corner. Then all they do is get their big bodies, shield them out, and then go pluck the football, break a tackle, and create. When we look at vertical threats, Larry Fitzgerald's arguably the best vertical threat in the NFL. The guy's a 4.55 guy, but his ability to go up and pluck the football at his highest point. The game's changing. When you're covered, you can throw receivers open just by making them go get the football. Dez Bryant, Brandon LaFell, Aurelius Ben, they can all do that for you without elite top-end speed.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Wes, because I've been saying it for a couple of years now that the NFL, look, if you're looking at the quarterback and the defensive back is not, you're open, and you're supposed to make that catch. And that's where the big receiver comes into it. Have we gotten away? There was a time that the big receiver was a West Coast receiver, and the quicker receiver was the quote-unquote Eric Coryell, Mike Martz, you know, Rams-style offense, that's you know, they had to be the burners, and they were a little bit smaller. They didn't want 220, 225. Have we gotten to the point that everybody would like a bigger, more physical wideout that also, you know, is a burner, and there isn't, you know, we don't have to worry so much about teams that, hey, this team wants this style of wideout, so that guy's not really an option?
Yeah, well, ideally everyone wants Andre Johnson. You know what I mean? 6'2",
yeah,
that can get down the field, that can break tackles. But the NFL has become so role-specific. You have a number one guy that can beat a press coverage, get down the field, a number two guy, the possession-type guy, and now you have to consider your slot guy as a starter. With the NFL consistently going to three wide receiver sets, guys like Dexter McCluster, Jacoby Ford, Jordan Shipley, Marty Gilliard, they all have roles in the offense now that you match them up with a two-way go on a corner, and they consistently are able to beat it, move the chains, create after the catch. So when you're evaluating the receiver class, it's almost three different positions. Is he a number one guy? Is he a number two possession guy? Or is he a slot guy? So I think the NFL's really evolved from that aspect.
You rambled through a couple of names, and let me hit you with a couple of names and just get your thoughts on them. I think the quickest 40 time run by a wideout, and maybe by anybody at the combine, was Jacoby Ford from Clemson. Does that have him skyrocketing up the charts?
Well, I think so. He's a luxury pick. I mean, like I said, he's not a guy at 5'9", 190 pounds, that with the track background, he's not ready to step into an NFL offense, beat press coverage on the outside, consistently separate out of his breaks. He's a guy you can run some screens to, run reverses, you put him in the slot, you let him run away from coverage, create after the catch, and then he's going to help you out on special teams. I think as a third, fourth round pick to an established offense that just needs another dynamic option to their play, I think Jacoby Ford can be that guy.
All right, you mentioned Jordan Shipley. Did not run very well for being an undersized guy. Does that really knock him down a lot of boards, the kid from Texas?
Well, I think people, they were making him out to be a Wes Welker-type player, which I don't think he is at all. If you're going to make the comparison, I think he's more of a Brendan Stokely-type guy that, again, you put him in the slot because he can't beat press coverage. Oklahoma, you know, Brian Jackson on the outside would not let him get off the line. But he's a smart guy, can read zone coverage, sit down, catch the football. And he is what he is. Is he ever going to be a star at the next level? No, but there's nothing wrong with having a Brendan Stokely-type career, solid throughout. When you need a guy to move the chains, the quarterback's going to look at Jordan Shipley. So,
all right, to hear people talk about it, Marty Gilliard was the next coming of Jerry Rice as Cincinnati was rolling off their outstanding season until they ran into Florida. What does he project out as?
Well, again, I mean, I sound like a broken record. He's another guy that there's a reason Brian Kelly moved him all around the offense. They moved him in the slot. They put him in motion because at 6 foot, 180 pounds, whatever he is, and he's not a real burner, struggles to beat press coverage. Corners aren't afraid that he's just going to run by him. Now, he plays faster than he times. He has some wiggle to his game, but ideally, you put him in the slot against his corner in a two-way go. He's got the wiggle to make a man miss and create after the catch. Plus, he can help you out on special teams. I think he's a third, fourth-round guy as well.
Do wide receivers benefit from the team around him more than any other position?
I think so. And, you look, it's a quarterback-driven league, college football, NFL, and there's a reason why Pierre Garçon and Anthony Gonzalez and the Colts consistently turn out new receivers. Well, they have a good quarterback there that knows how to get them the football, anticipates the routes, gets them out of their breaks. So the wide receiver class, again, so much is made about guys like Marty Gilliard, Jordan Shipley, and their production. But if they're going to a place like Georgia Tech, they're having the exact same production as a guy like Demetrius Thomas, who, you know, unfortunately, he was just asked to run the nine route and block for him all year.
All right, so two more players that are of local interest, Desmond Briscoe from Kansas and Denario Alexander at Missouri. What is the latest on their status?
Well, I really like Desmond Briscoe, to be honest. I think he's a smooth route runner. I think he has the ability to beat press coverage, can go up and get the football, is a much better route runner than given credit for, considering the open spread offense that he ran at Kansas. I think this guy, sure, he doesn't have elite speed. I think he ran at his pro day in the 4.5 range, but his ability to go up and pluck the football, that really helps his calls. I think he's ideally a number two possession type receiver, and if that doesn't work out, if he proves he's not athletic enough, he's a number four guy who can play in the slot, go down the seam, and make things happen, just like the Saints use Marcus Colston a lot. Alexander, on the other hand, he's a guy that when he gets down the field, when he gets those legs churning, can pick up speed as he goes. However, he's not a real quick starter, struggles to get in and out of his breaks because of those long legs, but he knows how to catch the football. I think he is an ideal number four receiver that you can use in the slot, let him go down the field, get the football, but he's never a guy. He showed at the Senior Bowl, and he showed against Nebraska, against top corners. He can't get off the press.
Wes Bunting is the director of scouting for NationalFootballPost.com. We are breaking down a couple of positions, wide receiver, and now we'll do cornerbacks. Overall strength of corners in this year's draft, similar to wideouts, I think?
I'd say it's pretty close. There's a couple guys with some elite talent that look like first-round picks, and then there's some really nice depth behind them. I'd say the depth is the real calling card of this year's draft, but there's some guys that can come and I think start pretty early in their NFL careers.
All right, Joe Haden is considered the top guy. 40 time, not where they wanted it to be. Does that harm him as the number one corner?
Well, the rumor then is that he had a sprained back. He was banged up a bit. And, you know, obviously on tape, Joe Hayden has the most explosive first step of any guy in the country. And I'm willing to bet my last dollar that he's not a 4.58 guy. This guy runs in the 4.4 range. I think if he's healthy, and I think what he's going to prove at his pro day, he's going to run in the 4.4 range. You can put him in a cover two scheme and let him close on the football. I think he can play man. He can press. A little raw out of his back pedal when asked to turn and run, but the physical skill set is there. His ability to get from 0 to 60 instantly out of his breaks when closing on the football, he does it as well as anyone in the draft.
If he wasn't healthy, why'd he run?
It's that competitive attitude. Why did Calvin Johnson run a couple of years ago when he said he wasn't going to? And all these competitive juices, just, you know, it takes guys over. And you like to see that sometimes. And was it the smartest move on his part? No, but it happens time to time.
All right, let's talk about a couple more of the top corners. Earl Thomas at Texas.
Well, you know, I don't consider it's not bad. Earl Thomas is one of the tougher guys to figure out, in my opinion. They list him as a free safety at Texas. Consistently, though, played in the slot as a nickel guy. Not a real physical tackler. Can play some zone. I'm not high on Earl Thomas, as high as Earl Thomas as most people are, but I think ideally he can play center field type role as a free safety. I think he can kick him inside as a nickel. But anytime this guy's asked to play in a phone booth, take on blocks, make tackles in space, I think he's really going to struggle. He really concerns me.
Does he fit more as a cover two guy than a man-to-man then?
Yeah, I'd say cover two is probably more ideal for him, where you put him in space in a center field type role at free safety and just let him roam the deep half of the field. Anytime he's asked to come up in the box, just watch the Alabama tape. I mean, he just really struggles to tackle.
Corners are such a premium. The next couple of guys, I think, are going to be sliding up into the first round. People may not be talking about him right now, but Kyle Wilson at Boise State.
Yeah, Kyle Wilson I love. This guy, as fluid, as balanced, as technically sound as any corner in this year's draft at 5'10", around 195 pounds, can play off man, which is one of the toughest things to do coming from college football. However, at 5'10", he can also press. When he gets his hands on you consistently, can reroute receivers, plus his change of direction skills, balance, footwork. He's really ahead of anyone in the class in that aspect. I can't see a talent like him getting outside the first round, to be honest.
All right, a guy I heard did very well at the Senior Bowl. I actually had a chance to talk to him down at the Super Bowl. It was him and some buddies. Another guy I'll talk about here in a second came up from where they were working out, getting ready for the combine. Devin McCourty from Rutgers.
Yeah, McCourty's another guy I like. Big 5'11", 195-pound corner. Long arms, can press off the line, is pretty technically sound, doesn't have the same type of balance as a guy like Kyle Wilson, so he doesn't explode out of his breaks when he has to turn his run, doesn't play quite as quick, but a little more physical, tracks the football well. This is another guy who I project as a potential starter early in his career in the NFL.
All right, anyone else? I got one more guy I'm going to ask you about, but I'm going to save him for a second. Anyone else out of that corner position that really catches your eye, you think is going to be a great value?
Well, the one guy I have to mention, I'm going to say this name slow.
No, that's my guy. That's my
guy. Well,
yes.
Then I'm going to let you say it.
All right. He's the other guy I talked to. Devin McCourty and Marty Gilliard were all up there together at the Super Bowl. They came up from their camp or they were working out. And I actually had it phonetically written out for me. And I'm positive on the first, it's kind of like three names. I'm positive on the first one and I'm positive on the last one. It's the middle one that I can't necessarily remember, but I believe it's Akwase Owusu-Anse.
Yeah, that's pretty close. And I live in central Pennsylvania,
okay,
and IUP is right down the road, so I've seen this guy a bunch of times. And honestly, when coming out, he reminds me a lot of a guy like Rasheen Mathis, the starting corner for the Jacksonville Jaguars. A 6-foot, 207-pound kid, runs like the wind. A big, strong upper body. I mean, when he gets his hands on the football, he's powerful, can change directions cleanly. Now, he's a bit raw, obviously a bit stiff in his lower half, gets a bit upright. He might be better projected to play free safety at the next level. But what you have is a beautiful piece of clay that you can turn into a work of art with some time. He's going to need a couple years, but his upside is absolutely tremendous. One of the top athletes in this year's draft.
You know, I'll vouch for the size because I looked at him and I did not know who he was at first, and I knew he was a draft prospect, and I started looking through safeties and even outside linebackers. I thought, well, maybe he's one of those speed, undersized outside linebackers they're going to try to bulk up. And no, he's a corner, but he's a big corner, and I'm with you. I mean, I have not seen him play, but I was really impressed with the kid. Great kid to talk to, and clearly I think a guy that is going to come in and give a great effort once he gets into camp. Let's talk about the physical traits of these two positions. Hand size. Nobody ever talks about hand size, but, you know, as I've talked to scouts for years now, I remember going back to a guy, the Florida kid, Jabari. Oh, boy.
Career?
Yes, right. Who played with the Pats. Is that mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
When he was a stud at Florida, and it was the first time I learned about hand sizes because I had an NFL scout tell me his hands are too small. He's never going to be big time because of that. And I was like, really? He catches all the balls in Florida. Since then, I've kept my eye on that. It does seem to be one of the attributes. You know, everyone looks at 40 times, but you got to have a big pair of mitts to catch an NFL football, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And consistently when we talk about college football and college receivers and quarterbacks, it's open throwing lanes in college football. There's not much contact right afterward that a receiver catches the football when he's asked to extend those hands. In the NFL, he has cornerbacks draped all over him. So you need those big pair of claws that you can just extend your hands, catch the football, and strong wrist as well. Because as soon as you catch the football, you know a corner or a safety or a linebacker is right on your back trying to knock it away. So obviously the bigger the hands, the stronger the wrist, the better chance you have of holding on to the football through contact.
All right, and what about the attributes that it takes to be a quality corner?
Oh, the corner, it's all about balance. Keeping your feet under you, being able to cleanly get in and out of your breaks. We see so many talented guys, the Fabian Washingtons, the Stanford Routes of this year's class, guys like Patrick Robinson, elite 4.3 speed who can run like the wind. However, they struggle to keep their feet under them, to keep their base down, their knees bent. Their legs are all over the place when they're trying to transition, and they don't play anywhere near as fast as they time as a straight-line athlete. However, if you have a guy like Kyle Wilson or guys Kareem Jackson, who may not run quite as well as a guy like Patrick Robinson, but because of their footwork, their balance, playing much faster because they consistently have their feet under them and able to explode in and out of their breaks.
All right, we're talking to Wes Bunting, Director of Scouting from NationalFootballPost.com. We'll continue to break down the other positions later on, but Wes, before I let you go, our little exercise, Final Four, four quickies. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, best corner ever that you've had a chance to scout yourself, the one that you just thought, wow, look, this guy's got all the tools.
Well, as a scout, I mean, when you're trying to figure it out, you love to go back and watch old school guys, and you have to bring up Deion. I mean, he's in a class as his own, to be honest. Champ Bailey was up there too, Charles Woodson, but Deion just, it's a dance to him. By far the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, unbelievable feat. I talk about balance. He certainly had it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, who did you like? Do you remember Brady Quinn or Jamarcus Russell? Neither's distinguished himself to this point, but did you have – I know there was a lot of debate there, and then Jamarcus Russell went out and Brady Quinn slid, and their careers have not taken off to this point. Did you have a preference between those two?
I would have went with Brady Quinn. He was the smarter guy, didn't have the physical skill set, but I worried so much about Jamarcus Russell's intellect, being able to handle a playbook, his work ethic. That worked out well for me. Brady Quinn hasn't, but I was a Brady Quinn guy.
All right, there's truth in both of the statements I'm going to make here. You tell me which one has more truth. Quarterback makes the wideout or the wideout makes the quarterback?
Oh, quarterback makes the wideout.
Yeah, all you got to do is see Peyton Manning. Everybody exactly. Seems to be good when Peyton Manning's throwing in the football. All right, and give me a big name that's on the slide here with a little over a month to go.
A big name that's on the slide. I'm going to go with Javier Arenas from Alabama. We were talking about corners later. This was a guy potentially thought of as a maybe second-round pick. He can do it all, a jack-of-all-trades, but a master of none. Isn't real fast, isn't a guy that's going to make many plays. I don't think he can play on the outside, a slot-only type cornerback. That 4.6 40 time is what really is hurting his cause. Plus, he's undersized, around 5'9", 200 pounds. That's not small and slow is not good for the cornerback position, no matter how fluid or balanced you are.
No, you are absolutely right. Wes, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. The website, NationalFootballPost.com. We'll break down some more spots with you next week.
Hey, thanks for having me.
the Red Zone with Soren Petro. We'll be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking, with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs Cheerleader Squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
What's in your playbook for 2010?
Shotgun formation, twins to the right. He takes the snap, fakes right, spins left, and dives for 2010 Chiefs season tickets.
Great seats at great prices are available.
Buy now to guarantee you'll experience the Chiefs in the new Arrowhead opening in 2010 with improved amenities, expanded concourses, HD video boards, the Hall of Honor, and much more. Purchase your 2010 Chiefs season tickets today at kcchiefs.com or call 888-99-CHIEFS.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
We roll on here in the Red Zone on a Wednesday. That is when we're live. It's when you can catch us live, Wednesdays. Thank you for joining us whenever it is, if you're catching us on the podcast or the archives. Our thanks to Wes Bunting, Director of Scouting for NationalFootballPost.com, breaking down the wide receivers and cornerbacks for us. Time now for some emails. Remember, you can email us, redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is redzone@kcchiefs.org. Let's start with Jack. Jack's question, with all the moves in free agency, does this mean the Chiefs are definitely going to draft an offensive tackle at number five, the draft looming large? And that's why Wes Bunting was with us and will continue to be with us all the way up until we get to the NFL draft. Does it mean O-tackle is the way to go? I think it means O-tackle is a possibility. They have not addressed the tackle position. And let's be honest, let's look back. And, you know, offensive line-wise, well, maybe we'll talk a little bit about this with Chris Chambers as well coming up. Chiefs wide receiver going to join us in our next segment here in the Red Zone. Offensive line really came together in the second half. Now, was it because Jamaal Charles got into the backfield? Was it because Chris Chambers, who I think is one of the more subtle, mid-season changes that this team made? You know, the offense really got more explosive in the second half. Obviously, Jamaal Charles was a huge part of that, but Chris Chambers was a big part as well. His ability to stretch the field did a lot to upgrade this offensive unit. But neither one of those guys could have done it if there wasn't some blocking in front of them. Now, was it the best offensive line in football? I don't know. Probably not, quite frankly. But it got a lot better. So I don't know that they're now in position. I think the great thing about what the Chiefs' moves have done, and we talked about this in the opening segment, is I think they're free to do whatever they want in the draft. And hopefully that means take best player available. Take the biggest impact players in every round, the guys that stand out regardless of position, so that you know you don't have to take a tackle. You know, they got good enough play out of Albert and Callahan that they feel like, okay, you know, we don't have to take a tackle. Now, what's the position they haven't addressed in that offensive line of free agency? It is tackle, and I think O-tackle will be one of the positions that are in play. It's the least bustable position In the first round. More often than not, you're going to get at least a serviceable player to a good, maybe even great player if you go offensive tackle that high. Other positions, quarterback, wide receiver, defensive line, have been more likely to bust out. So, you know, for security reasons, you could go along the offensive line and take a tackle. I think two other spots that are there that a lot of people have the Chiefs taking are Eric Berry at safety, and not so much now, but Rolando McClain, linebacker at Alabama, middle linebacker. His name's been brought up a lot. We have not seen his name here lately, but those are two other spots that are in play. And I think you have to look back at the history of Scott Pioli in drafting. He has taken a safety in the first round, albeit not high, and he's taken a linebacker in the first round. That time it was high, Jerod Mayo. Now, does he view McClain the same way he viewed a Mayo when he was running the show in New England? Well, that's the big question. Is he an impact player? I think you're gonna see the Chiefs take what they feel is the biggest impact spot. I think that could be offensive tackle. When he's had high picks in the past at New England and in Kansas City, he took Tyson Jackson at 3, took Richard Seymour in the top 10, Ty Warren just outside the top 10. You know, they invested a lot of first-round picks on the defensive side of the ball in New England. I would lean towards it being a defensive player. And when you look at the free agent signings, yes, they have not gotten to offensive tackle, but Thomas Jones, running back, Jeremy Urban, wide receiver, Ryan Lilja, guard, Casey Wiegman, center, Thomas Jones, running back. You know, time and time again, Chris Chambers, wide receiver, bringing him back into the mix. They've addressed the offensive line. Now, they've made some defensive signs, re-signing Mike Vrabel and getting Sean Smith at that nose tackle spot. But for the most part, their free agent moves have been based on the offensive side of the ball. That says to me there's probably more work to be done on the defensive side of the ball. So if there's an offensive tackle, whether it's Russell Okung, which I know Big 12 people in these parts, if you're in the outlying areas of the Chiefs Kingdom, like perhaps Iraq, because I know we've got some of the military guys listening, Afghanistan, you may not have seen Russell Okung as you're defending our nation, but a guy that Big 12 people certainly know and a lot of people consider to be the best left tackle. Whether it's him, if he grades out as being a super left tackle, then maybe it will be. Then Russell Okung will be the guy. But if Eric Berry is a game-changing safety, it could be Eric Berry. It could be Rolando McClain. I know I gave the statistics of top 10 safeties. Security-wise, safety's not the way to go, but you've got to trust your scouts and trust your the work that you do, that the people you've hired will do the job right. And if they say Eric Berry's the difference maker, then you go Eric Berry. I think it's O-tackle or defense. I think that's where they go. I don't think there's a wide receiver, as you heard Wes Bunting say. Doesn't look like there's a wide receiver unless you believe in Dez Bryant that warrants being taken that high, and Dez Bryant comes with off-the-field baggage as well. Chiefs John's got an email for us again, redzone@kcchiefs.org. Chiefs John said, how big a season will Jamaal Charles have next year? I know I'm a little bit early, but I want to put him at the top of my fantasy football draft board. He may go up there. He's certainly going to be a top five pick, I think, in next year's fantasy football leagues. I think the question is, the caution, I think fantasy football players should have when it comes to Jamaal Charles is, when you get on a roll, you stay on a roll. And when you play from behind, as the Chiefs did a lot, sometimes you can pick up big yardage. Remember Priest Holmes' big statistics. Now, again, Priest Holmes had great years afterwards, and I think Jamaal Charles is going to have a great year even with Thomas Jones. Now, I think Thomas Jones will spell him, but I think you'll get just as many big plays, but maybe not the total number of carries. So I would temper. I don't know that Jamaal Charles game in, game out will be quite as big as some of his big days, including that the huge game he had against the Denver Broncos, because Thomas Jones will take away some of the extra carries that are there for him. I think he'll still be explosive. He'll still have big plays. He'll still have long touchdowns. And he's still going to have a big year. But if you look at the yards per game, go back and look at Priest Holmes. It took about five games in 2001 for them to figure out what they had. And then he put up monster numbers in the last 11. Had a good game against the Redskins in that first five or six games. Then his last 10, 11 games, he took off. If you look at his per-game averages, he was not able to maintain that the next year, but he still put up huge numbers, even better numbers. I think Jamaal Charles, you're looking at 12 to 14, 1,500 yards rushing, and you're looking at 8 to 10 touchdowns next year for Jamaal Charles. But I think people are thinking 1,800, 1,900 yards. I think that's too many touches to get him, and that's why Thomas Jones was brought in, was to make sure that he is fresh and healthy at the end of the year and hopefully in the postseason as well. Again, you can email us, redzone@kcchiefs.org, redzone@kcchiefs.org. We'll take a break, come back. Chris Chambers, Chiefs wide receivers, next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on kcchiefs.com. What's in your playbook for 2010?
Shotgun formation, twins to the right. He takes the snap, fakes right, spins left, and dives for 2010 Chiefs season tickets.
Great seats at great prices are available.
Buy now to guarantee you'll experience the Chiefs in the new Arrowhead, opening in 2010 with improved amenities, expanded concourses, HD video boards, the Hall of Honor, and much more. Purchase your 2010 Chiefs season tickets today at kcchiefs.com or call 888-99-CHIEFS.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block brings him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone in the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday as we are going to talk to one of the guys back in the fold, Chris Chambers, Chiefs wide receiver, joining us right now after re-signing with the Kansas City Chiefs. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Not too bad, and I can tell you that Chiefs fans are very excited to have you back into the mix, as this offense took off. You were a big part of when this offense took off in the second half of the season. Feel good to be back in the red and gold?
Yeah, it feels great. I think it was a great accomplishment for me and myself and my teammates and the organization. I'm glad to be coming back. I'm glad they wanted me back, and hopefully we can make the best of it.
Was there ever a time you didn't think it would happen, that you thought you'd be headed someplace else?
No, I think the whole time in the back of my head, I felt like I was going to be in Kansas City. Me and my agent was pushing in, and the organization on their end, of course, have interest from other teams. But all in all, I felt like they didn't offer me what, you know, being on the Chiefs can do for me. And not for myself, but just being on the team that got an opportunity to be successful and in a way they're presented with the coaching staff that they picked up this year. I think that helped out as well as far as my decision-making of coming back here and along with all the other players that I felt like was going to be around. So it made sense for myself and my career to come back and play with these guys.
Yeah, we'll get to the free agent signings in a minute. It's been like a signing a day. You were one of those. One every day last week. Took Monday off, and then got after it with Ryan Liljaw on Tuesday. But first, you mentioned the coaching staff, and you know the organization has said that you know they're about building a winning team, and everything that goes into it. They made some serious changes on the coaching staff, bringing in a new offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel. That's a statement by ownership that they're willing to spend the money as well on the coaching staff. When you heard Charlie Weiss, what goes through your mind when you hear the name Charlie Weiss?
Well, immediately, stability and experience. I believe Todd, did a great job, being able to be the head coach and calling the offensive plays. I mean, that can be overwhelming at times, but he did the best he with that. We spent a lot of time with him, and then he ensured that they were going to do everything they can to stabilize the coaching staff, and that was the first step they did. And bringing in a guy that he knows and a guy with a lot of experience, have championships on his belt, I think it was great for the team and organization. And we look forward to working with him. And I heard a lot of great things Hurts can be a tough coach, but, you know, that's what it takes to get it done sometimes when you're trying to be perfect and win games.
The NFL, you know, the players in the NFL, that's a small group. I mean, there aren't a lot of guys that can call themselves NFL players. I know that you guys get to know each other, guys on other teams. You got any friends, guys you trust that have played for Charlie Weiss that you picked up the phone and said, all right, give me the lowdown. What's the story on Charlie?
Yeah, you know, I don't have none, to tell you the truth.
Really?
I don't really have too many guys that played with him. I heard he has similar coaching style to Coach Haley, so I don't know how that's gonna be. But for the most part, they're committed to winning, and for Pierre to do the things that he's done in the past, he's gonna demand a lot. I'm pretty sure from his players, every position. So I look forward to coming there with my experience and taking the coaching, you know, the way I'm gonna take it. And learn as much as I can. And, you know, the guys who know what they're doing on the field are the ones who are going to be playing the games on Sunday.
Todd Haley said he shared, I can't remember if it was a 4-foot by 4-foot, some really small office with Charlie Weiss in their days back with the Jets when they both coached under Bill Parcells in New York. I assume that they won't be asked to share the office. He's going to get his own office, don't you think?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. And it's a lot of room over there. And as you guys know, the facility is great. So that's something that's going to be very easy, I'm pretty sure.
All right. What about the moves this team has been making in free agency? I mentioned it's been like a signing a day, you know, getting you re-signed, getting Thomas Jones signed, Jeremy Urban signed, Ryan Liljia, Casey Wiegman. You know, there's been a lot of firepower added to the offensive side of the football. That's got to be pretty exciting. Did you know those things were coming when you got inked?
No, I can't say I did. You know, I know the team was committed to winning. And when you commit to winning, you're going to do whatever you can to get guys in there that you feel is going to help your team, that you feel is going to be a part of the future. And I'm glad they made the moves I did. You know, hats off to Scott and his staff and Todd for making those moves. You know, right off top, I mean, Thomas Jones himself is going to be a great addition to our team. I think everybody knows that. I don't know him personally, but I heard he's a class act. I heard he's a great teammate. He's a good guy. He's a leader, and that's what you want. You know, you want to kind of mold your team that way with veteran leadership, and kind of want to bring along some of the younger guys and show them the way. And that's how you win teams. That's how you win championships. And they're committed in doing that. Jeremy, I don't know much about Jeremy, but, you know, of course, he has the ability with Arizona. He's used to the offense. He'll be able to come in, and I'm pretty sure he'll help us right away, along with some of the other guys that they made moves for.
Yeah, some of the other guys are the offensive linemen. Now, you know, without the grunts, the big nasties up there, giving time to the quarterback, the glory boys – yourself, the wideouts, the running backs.
Right.
You don't get to look like stars without the offensive line now, right?
No, absolutely. You know, and I try not to get in the trenches too much, but, you know, we need those guys. They're a big factor in our involvement and our success. And I thought for the most part when I was there, I seen a group of linemen that got together. It was interchangeable, but they made it work. You know, they took the game plan. They made it work. Whatever that needs to be done, they did it. You know, guys had to lose a ton of weight because we're a much faster offense, and we're doing a lot of no huddle. So, you guys had to be in some great shape. And to do what they did in the last 9 or 10 games with Jamal going over 1,000 yards, I mean, that's very, very impressive for a line that hasn't been together for a long time. That was pretty much makeshift, you know, for the most part. I mean, you have Walters, who's been there for years, and you know, we know what he brings to the table, but you have some of the young guys who were brought along as well. And I thought they did an excellent job. Now you're adding more depth to that line and more experience. I think it's going to make one of the, you know, top lines in the league next year, hopefully.
Yeah, you said it. The line was criticized, and it really was patchwork to start, but played very well down the stretch once everybody kind of settled into their spot. Now you bring in Casey Wiegman and Ryan Liljia. I know from covering Casey his first go-around here in KC from 01 to 07, he is in great shape. He fits the profile of what they're looking for in an offensive lineman. Same thing with Ryan Liljia, who I remember when he was in camp here. He actually got away when they tried to hide him on the practice squad, and the Colts grabbed him. Nice job by the Colts. Now he comes back to his hometown.
Yeah.
So that offensive line gets even stronger. I know that's great news for you guys when you take the field offensively, and they have gotten Mike Vrabel extended on his contract. So that's one move. Sean Smith, defensive tackle, nose tackle, brought in as well. I know it's great to take the field offensively and have all that firepower. Do you sit back and go, okay, Let's go now. Let's get some people to stop the other team and get us back out on the field. You start rooting for defensive signings now.
Yeah, and that's what you do. And then, you know, hopefully we have a team that can complement each other. And, you know, our defense, I think they played well this time. They, you know, they led the league in a couple categories that is very important with, like, red zone defense and things of that nature. And it's just things that you can deal with from that defense. You know, Tamba coming off the edge. You have Flowers, who I thought kind of came into himself last year. He has that Champ Bailey shutdown corner mold in him, and I really like his attitude. Along with some of the other younger players, and they just, you know, they have to add a few more players here and there to kind of mold it out, and hopefully we'll be able to do that along with some, you know, some guys don't talk about it, but special teams, you know, it's pretty huge, and you know, at times we feel like we need to do better, you know, when it comes down to special teams, so you got to find some guys in that department, someone who's going to, you know, help us get field position, you know, returning kicks, you know, like a Darren Sproles, you know, that's a big weapon just to have. So look forward to see what they do with those guys, and it's really going to make our team a lot better off top.
We're talking to Chris Chambers, Chiefs wide receiver here in the red zone. Chris, I know a lot of guys just show up to camp. They're ready to go. They just want to play ball. There are other guys that consider themselves kind of draft nicks. They follow the college kids, keep an eye on it. Where do you fall? Are you a guy that follows the college kids, and you'll be watching the draft to see who gets added?
I do. I enjoy watching the draft. I really do. I'm a Big Ten guy off jump. You know, sure. I just playing the University of Wisconsin, so I watch a lot of Big Ten games, and I know that league, that conference pretty well. So I'm always encouraged to see guys that come from that conference and play in the NFL, you know. And so I look forward to watching the draft. It's a mix of a lot of talent. I got a chance to watch a little bit of the combine. I actually have a cousin, a receiver, a wide receiver, Mike Chambers, who's coming out. He's going to be playing. He plays Division II school, but I kind of getting some of the coaches and the scouts to kind of look at him and check him out. And he has a lot of ability, you know, so I'm into it. I'm kind of in tune. I know what's going on.
All right, so now if he gets drafted, if they pick him up, you going to ask for a cut? Are you kind of like his agent?
Yeah, well, you know, I was like, well, you're going to try to take my job or something. But I just look forward for him to make a team. I tell him that's all you can ask for is to get on somebody's team. And, you know, you got to play hard. You're going to have to win in special teams. You know, you're a receiver, but first and foremost, you got to make the team. And that's one thing you have to do. And there's so much talent out there. So it's going to be pretty hard. But, you know, the cream always rise to the top. And if you're tough, you're disciplined, and you're smart, and you work hard, you always give yourself an opportunity to be successful.
Now, you're preaching special teams, but did you have to hit the special teams when you got to the Dolphins, or were you already a no-touch
guy?
Yeah,
I did. I didn't return kicks and punts in college, but I did return kicks my first year in the NFL before I ended up starting the middle of the season. But I had to go back and return. I think I ran off and kicked off maybe one time. That's about it. But I feel like if I had to play gunner, I can go out there and get the job done.
Yeah, I don't know if I can't remember if I talked to you about this or not, but, you know, the Chiefs really liked you. I don't know if you knew that. When you came out, they didn't have a first or second round pick. They had traded the first round pick went for Trent Green. The second round pick went for the rights to sign Dick Vermeil as the head coach. They didn't have a first or second. Yep. They didn't pick to the third. They were trying awfully hard, I was told later, to try to get up into that second round and get after you. They were pretty frustrated when they couldn't. They thought they had a shot at you. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. And I want to say, I don't know if Michael Bennett came out that year, right?
Yeah, Michael Bennett was in that year.
Yeah, so that's, did he play? No, he played afterwards. But I know they were up for some of the teams, and I knew they were one of the teams. And I ended up being the 11th receiver pick that year in the second round, and a lot of teams passed me up on that end. And actually, Miami Dolphins passed me up the first time, ended up getting me in the second round. But, you know, things seem to work out.
Yeah, it did. It worked out really well, and certainly has worked out well for the Chiefs to have you signed back and ready to go. You and Dwayne Bowe, great start to a receiving core. You like where the receivers are on this football team now?
Yeah, I do. But I know we can improve. You know, a lot was thrown at us at times. We had different game plans then. We're trying some new things, some new techniques. And we was in the learning curve. That may have made us a step slow in some things. We have a new coach in Richie Anderson who we had to get used to, and is going to help us out a lot as he learns the position as well. He's very encouraged. He's very passionate, and he, you know, just like everybody else, he wants to succeed and, you know, hopefully have a championship one day. So I think the, you know, like I said, the nucleus of receivers are there. We got a couple of young guys, and Quinton and Lance to have to come along and be more involved this year. We have Terrence, who's a veteran guy, to kind of be our swing man and come in and pretty much play every position. And I'm sure they're going to be looking, and Jeremy as well, so I'm sure they're going to be looking to add more talent to our receiver corps and, you know, help us. We can be one of the top receiver corps in the league. You know, we have to be extremely tough. We're going to have to definitely block. We know that. So I think that's one of the first things that we're going to have to do. And we have to make plays down the field. And hopefully we all can complement each other and play well this year.
Yeah, if you don't remember to block, I'm sure Jamal will remind you that that's part of the equation,
right,
as well. Are you going to go with number 11 again, or are you going to make a number change?
Well, that's the debate here, because I have a lot of people that like the 11. I only had two choices, 11 and 13,
yep.
And I chose 11. And I really want to get back into my number 84, which I had my first year. So everybody's saying, oh, you did well with 11. You need to keep 11. And I'm just telling everyone that 84 is my number. You know, that I did well in 84 as well in every jersey I put on. So it's just a number, but I would like to wear that number again in the red. That'll be very nice, and I look forward to hopefully the NFL approves it, but, you know, we'll see you down the line.
All right, before I let you go, we're talking to Chris Chambers, Chiefs wideout, our final four quickies. We'll start with this one. How far do your Wisconsin Badgers go in this year's NCAA tournament?
You know, they're always ready. With Bo Ryan, they're always tournament ready. So the tournament ends at 16.
Sweet 16. That's pretty good. That's where I've got them going on my bracket. I'm looking at it right
here.
So we're in agreement on that. All right. Who throws the hardest pass you ever had to catch?
Oh, man, I'll have to go with, Matt throws a pretty hard ball.
Does he really?
He does. Yeah, he does. He has a really strong arm.
Okay.
And, I don't know where, I would probably say Ray Lucas, maybe. If guys remember, this is quarterback. He played for the New York Jets. He played for Miami Dolphins for a couple of years. And I don't know if it's because he, sometimes he used to be late on his reads and he had to kind of throw it really, really hard. But I would say he has to be one of the hardest throwing quarterbacks I ever had.
Oh, yeah, straight out of Rutgers.
Matt is up there, though, definitely.
Yeah, I remember Ray Lucas, though, straight out of Rutgers. I went to Syracuse,
yep,
so I remember
exactly.
Those Northeast games. In fact, we ran into your squad one year, as I recall, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't you play Syracuse when you were at Wisconsin?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, okay. With my first year, we had Dane. I guess you guys probably had McNabb. And,
yep.
And Harris and all those guys. So you were rolling a little bit. Conrad.
Yeah. Times have changed. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Rob Conrad. He would have been a teammate of yours down with Miami. That's right.
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm familiar with that squad.
Yes. Okay. All right. Good to know. All right. How many more years do you want to play football?
As long as, the guy lets me play. For the most part, I'm truly blessed to make it this far. 10 seasons and, no major injuries. And I have a really good routine for working out and a passion to play the game. And I'm definitely want to have career goals that I want to get after. And I have a chance to obtain them. And I look forward to that and definitely will love a championship at some point in my career to kind of cap it off.
All right. Very good. And finally, what's in the water in Bedford, Ohio? I did not realize Lee Evans was a high school teammate of yours as well.
Yeah, he was. And actually a guy, Sappho, he's a lineman that's coming out from Indiana. He came from Bedford. I heard he's going to be first or second round pick. But Lee, I transferred to Bedford. Lee kind of grew up in the Bedford system. And, I happened to be there. And my stats, I had 24 catches and, maybe like 10 touchdowns. I was able to get a scholarship to Wisconsin. But, every time, once I left that school, Lee pretty much blew up. Had great years in high school. I left Wisconsin. He ended up breaking a couple of Big Ten records in receiving. So I kind of carried him along and got him to come to Wisconsin, and it kind of worked out from there for him.
Yeah, not too bad. Worked out for Wisconsin, too. Great, great tradition of receivers.
Absolutely.
There. Hey, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much, Chris. And good to have you back here in Kansas City. Welcome back, and we look forward to talking to you in the season.
Thank you. Me too.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. What's in your playbook for 2010?
Shotgun formation, twins to the right. He takes the snap, fakes right, spins left, and dives for 2010 Chiefs season tickets.
Great seats at great prices are available.
Buy now to guarantee you'll experience the Chiefs in the new Arrowhead, opening in 2010 with improved amenities, expanded concourses, HD video boards, the Hall of Honor, and much more. Purchase your 2010 Chiefs season tickets today at kcchiefs.com or call 888-99-CHIEFS.
In today's hectic world, it's hard enough to find time to manage all your commitments and still find time to pursue a higher education. But at Columbia College, we make it easier. Classes are just 8 weeks long, and you can earn your associate, bachelor's, or master's degree on campus, online, or both. Apply now to Columbia College in Kansas City at www.ccis.edu/about-time. That's www.ccis.edu/about-time.
Hey, Chiefs fans. I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs Cheerleader Squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, Soren Petro wrapping things up here in the Red Zone. I want to thank Chris Chambers. Great to have him back in the fold with the Kansas City Chiefs. Did a great job in the second half for the Chiefs once he came over from San Diego. Really gave him a guy who could stretch the field and pair up with Dwayne Bowe. Hopefully get Dwayne Bowe on the field for 16 games. He progresses as a youngster. Chris Chambers gets even better knowing the offense. The free agent signings, the weapons that have been brought around, hopefully open up even more passing lanes for Matt Cassel, and should be an outstanding offense. It's certainly looking good as we head into the next phase, continue with this phase in free agency, and look to the next phase in the NFL draft. Offensively, the Chiefs have added a lot and kept a lot, and that's probably the most important part. Chris Chambers, a big part of that offense, taking a step up in the second half, and he is back with the Kansas City Chiefs. Good news, Chiefs fans, inked to a multi-year deal. We'll see if he does indeed get that number 84. That's going to do it for us. From Amanda Curtis Siebel, Brad Young, Soren Petro saying thank you very much for joining us here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to the Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.